Jesus was really good at mission statements. Some organizations and businesses really struggle with that, but that's what this reading is. Jesus declaring his mission statement to the community. As he read from Isaiah in the temple, Jesus believed it summed up his whole ministry and claimed it as his defining purpose. He was anointed to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Boom. Clear, concise. But more important than having an explicit sense of purpose, the reason Jesus was so good at mission statements is because then he actually put it into action. He executed it so consistently, carefully, and thoroughly. This story in Luke kicked off a 3-year journey of Jesus doing nothing but living out his mission statement in all that he said and did. Jesus knew how to get after it. Now, for all the workaholics in the room, for those who do and do and still don't feel like you're enough, please hear me say, I don't mean that Jesus never stopped working or that Jesus never made time for relationships or recreation. I just mean that when he was in motion, he was on mission. When he acted, he made his actions count. But even in his rest and his play and his community building, he was living out his purpose in all arenas. And he was practicing self-care, which only strengthened his mission. Today, we continue our sermon series on what it looks like to lead like Jesus and what those leadership characteristics are. And today, we think about Jesus' execution. I know that comes across really badly. Not his death execution, his execution of mission. Jesus had clear eyes and a very strong focal point. He prioritized his calling, and he refused to get caught up in distractions. Were there plenty of other things that were worth doing at the time? Absolutely. There's always more to be done. But Jesus also knew what was his and what was somebody else's to do. And it's not that Jesus' one-track mind made him, like, ignore or push past people. Execution didn't make him rigid or uncaring. He was unwavering, but it was always tempered with compassion because his mission meant nothing if people were not at the heart of it. So he didn't treat needs outside of his mission as disposable or invaluable. He listened, he showed compassion, and he honored everyone he came across, but then he discerned, that was a previous quality that we studied, if what was in front of him matched his call. And if it didn't, he either found somebody else to do it or he just graciously moved forward. When the disciples saw that the crowd of 5,000 was hungry and they came to Jesus, he said, "You give them something to eat." He continued teaching while his disciples handled the logistics. He tasked Peter and John with preparing for the Passover meal so he could continue his last days of work in Jerusalem. And even from the cross, Jesus assigned his friend to be the new caretaker of his mother because he knew she would need support, security, and love. Jesus never strayed from his goal. He was a pro at mission execution. Now, fast forward a bit to the Reformation, and we find out why that leadership quality is crucial for our daily lives, too. I know we have a lot of folks that make their way to Good Shepherd from different denominations and maybe are like, I don't know what this Reformation thing is that you keep talking about. So I'm just going to give you a very, very quick overview. And I'm actually just going to borrow words from my sermon last year. It's not plagiarism because it's me. A little over 500 years ago, a monk named Martin Luther did some really big reflection on the institution of the church and realized she was falling short. And she was falling short because she was doing more harm than good with some of her practices. And so Luther and several others felt led by the Spirit to call out these problematic behaviors and to invite the church to course correct, to be open to being reformed formed by God to better live out God's kingdom in the world. And to put it very, very mildly, it did not go well. Luther was asked to quiet down and go away by way of excommunication and threat of death. Now, there are lots of other historical and other pieces that kind of factored into this period, cultural stuff, socioeconomic, geographical, political, like all kinds of world-shifting things came together to create the perfect storm for change. And Luther and the other leaders didn't intend to break away from the church, but when they realized change wasn't coming, they followed their sense of call. And now we have Lutherans and dozens of other denominations. And the reason we celebrate Reformation is to remember the lessons learned from it. One of which is that Luther wanted to put the work of faith back into the hands of the people, instead of relying on the priests to live it out on everyone's behalf. We are all ministers in our own contexts. We call it the priesthood of all believers. We can talk about mission here as much as we want to, but doing it out in all of our communities is the only way that it gets realized. So what mission are we executing? Well, friends, Scripture says that we are now the body of Christ. We are what we eat. So Jesus' calling is our calling. So I want to invite you today to listen very carefully and receive your commissioning again, church. It's the same one we're going to hear in a little bit for baptism, but the words are a little bit different. Here it is. Are you ready? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because God has anointed you to bring good news to the poor. God has sent you to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That is our calling, your calling to execute on in your own specific way, in your corner of the world. We're not Jesus, so we're not going to do it exactly the way that he did it. In fact, it'll be different than the way your neighbor does it, or your parent, or your child, or your spouse, or your classmate, or your coworker. But the task is to figure out what it looks like to live this out without distraction every day in every arena of our lives. We are charged with proclaiming good news to the poor and the year of the Lord's favor. These go hand in hand because the year of the Lord's favor recalls the Jubilee or the forgiveness of debt to help the underprivileged have a chance at a sustainable life. These two asks call us to pay attention to where poverty exists and to ask why. To ponder if sharing good news looks like sharing resources as needs arise or making systemic changes that stop creating poverty in the first place, or a mix of both. They ask us to reflect on what we have, on what we need versus what we want, on what we waste, and on how much we spend, and where we spend it affects the people around the world. It asks us to consider how the resources of the earth are being distributed. How is my mission executed at every single cash register? I didn't intend to be a walking commercial, but one of the small ways that I try to execute this mission now, because the Bridge comes here every year, is to buy the bulk of my Christmas gifts from them. This fair trade market that we have out here, because they support artisans around the world by paying them fairly for their work. How do we live this out with our budgets? We are charged with proclaiming release to the captives. For some, maybe this means visiting the incarcerated, or naming needed reforms in the criminal justice system that move people through without fair trial or wrongly imprison them. I know some employers who intentionally hire formerly incarcerated people because it's so hard for them to get a second chance in the workforce. Or maybe it's about giving support and grace to those in our own families who are captive to addiction without enabling them. Or declaring to our classmates and our friends who are crippled by shame that they are forgiven. They are free from that imprisonment because God loves them. Or maybe it's forgiving someone we have held so tightly in our grudged grasp, setting them and ourselves free from our anger. Maybe it means supporting organizations that work to free those in human trafficking, or helping our neighbors avoid predatory schemes like payday loans and online scams. We are charged with proclaiming recovery of sight to the blind. Now, for some, execution of this mission is literally translated into a job in the healing industry. But it can also mean volunteering with any of our care ministries, or visiting a sick relative, or supporting medical research in your budget or your vote. Or maybe, in the less literal idea of opening eyes, it could mean providing education opportunities, or choosing to have hard but loving and truthful conversations with family members or colleagues. We are charged with setting the oppressed free. Executing this mission begins with noticing who's at the margins of our schools, our sports teams, our neighborhoods, our gathering places, our policies, and then asking who is benefiting from that. It means practicing hospitality and welcome, especially to those who have very carefully been excluded and carved out from community. It means inviting in voices that are often ignored to our libraries, our classrooms, our boardrooms, our staffs, our civic engagements. It looks like speaking up for and standing with those who are not being treated as the beloved of God, even in our classroom hallways, and in our text chains, and in our work break rooms, and at our family dinner tables, and in the earth herself, and sometimes in our faith spaces. There are endless ways that we can execute our mission in our everyday lives. We don't have to be pastors or theologians or seminary professors. I didn't get to talk about the Nehemiah reading today, but it is literally one of my favorite books of the Bible. It is such an example of an efficient leader because he executes the rebuilding of the entire wall around Jerusalem by empowering and recruiting every single person in the community to just build the part in front of their house. It's awesome. I challenge you to read it this week. But friends, we have our mission statement. We have our mission field. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us as we focus up and execute. So may we, in the strength and style of our Lord and Savior Jesus, get after it. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, on this Reformation Sunday, we remember that your Spirit is always stirring up in us the reminder of how we are called. Help us to imagine what that looks like in our day-to-day lives and strengthen us to go and be the hands and feet of Christ for the sake of the world.